Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative dynamite in D.C., and rhino heads are exploding. The House rhinos caved in to the grassroots tsunami of conservatives, libertarians, and plain old Americans from across the political spectrum who just want the government to stick to the enumerated powers. This is how it's supposed to work. Your, quote, representatives are supposed to exercise your will within the limits of the Constitution. The next battle, the Senate, where the congressmen with extended terms are dominated by Obama's shills. No, not Reed, not the Democrats. I'm talking about the Senate rhinos. Now the meme from the rhinos, quote, right-wing talking heads like Brooks and Rove and Fox News and the rest of the corporatist media, is that this strategy can't succeed. How so? The House is supposed to control the purse. Legislation should be a battle. Use the tools. Bring the pressure. Don't spend money we don't have. We can't afford more debt and fake money. And we don't need nor want a bigger government. Put it back in the constitutional box. Defund Obamacare and stop trying to blow up the world on behalf of bankers, Saudis, and jihadis. Don't let them fool you. You're winning. As the continuing resolution, since Harry Reid can't pass a budget, moves to the Senate for a vote, the Democrats could seek to strip the Obamacare defunding language from the CR. However, that should require 60 votes. If you include the Democrat caucusing independents, Reid has only 54 votes. So if this happens, it will be the rhino traitors who are at fault. It will be McConnell's fault. It will be McConnell care. If Republicans in the Senate feel the same grassroots tsunami pressure the rhinos in the House felt, they have the parliamentary tools to disallow Obamacare funding amendments by demanding a 60-vote threshold as opposed to a simple majority, which the Democrats control. The Republicans have all the power to force the defunding of this economy-killing disaster. Either some Democrats in tight races vote with them to pass a CR without Obamacare, or it goes back to the House. The House has numerous tools to fund legitimate and, unfortunately and sadly, illegitimate functions of government without funding Obamacare. But none of this will happen unless Americans of good conscience, from Occupy to Tea Party, from conservatives to libertarians, from honest liberals to the uninvolved, send a grassroots tsunami to the Imperial City and demand limited government. This is not a partisan or ideological issue. It is not about health care nor insurance reform. This is a matter of survival. Are we turning back toward the Republic or continuing to manage the decline of the West and accelerating down the road to serfdom in a police state at home and empire abroad? Liberty is yours to lose. Will you fight? Be the dynamite. Be the TNT. Ignite flames of liberty. Stand with Ted, not turncoats. Stand for truth, not tailspin. You are live with Rex and Trog, Texas on special assignment tonight. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City. And my co-captain tonight is... Chris, you're live with Rex.
Man, are we live.
We are live and explosive. Yep.
We live in crazy times. Yeah, there is a lot going on. Are they doing this vote on Monday?
I don't know if they'll get to it on Monday. I haven't seen it officially scheduled. I've heard that it's Monday, but I mean it's going to have to be sometime this week. I mean, the fact is that they ran out of money in like May, and they've been basically raping the G fund of the thrift savings plan for government employees. I mean, you government employees, I swear, you think these people are your benefactors. They're raiding your essentially 401k to fund all this stupid crap. And that's going to run out at the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30. So on October 1, the government will no longer be funded, and so they got to move pretty quick. They're supposed to be on vacation next week, so I suspect they'll want to vote on this quickly. But, you know, it depends on how it goes. The fact is that it's really up to us. How much pressure are we going to apply? You, Mr. and Mrs. America out there, how much pressure are you going to put on them?
Well,
don't
you
fund
know,
it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, don't fund it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Well, if anybody's paid attention to this thing, I think that the people who have started this show have articulated very well what the game plan and what the variables are. What has amazed me once again, and I don't know why it amazed me, but it was so blatantly obvious. You know, I've never been a TV person. You know, I raised my kids. We never had cable. I didn't get cable and Fox News until a couple of years ago, so I've never really been a mainstream media person to begin with. I never was impressed enough, I guess, to watch them. But what amazes me is how well and how they just blow the dust off the last how to destroy Republicans and get them fighting and make it look like Republicans are obstructionists and all this stuff, and how they can spin that and just launch that. And then the progressives in the Republican Party will jump up and they will just dance that tune with the leftist media. And they do the same thing over and over and over and over again. There's patterns to this behavior. And it works, unfortunately. That's the scary part. And it works because people are sheep. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, but it's so frustrating to me that you can do a little bit of research on your own. You can sit down and listen to one side of the story and then go listen to the other side of the story, you know, the person being attacked, which is usually the guy on the right or the conservative or the Christian or the libertarian, and listen to them and listen to them explain themselves, and then use the brain that God gave you, and you'll realize that the leftist media is lying and smearing and spinning. And you'll realize that all the pundits that the RNC and the, you know, the so-called Republicans who are not really Republicans, I think they're all infiltrators, how you'll realize that they're lying. You know, they're not putting the full information out there. You know, they say things in a way that if you're not educated and you're not following something, that, you know, they'll scare you. See, the first thing in my life I learned a long, long, long time ago, if somebody's trying to scare you, you always want to ask, what is their motive? I mean, that's just a simple concept of thought. But why would they try to scare you? What is their benefit? Everybody in the country is freaking out over Obamacare. You know, you're seeing reports every day. You're seeing companies. You're seeing unions. The government employees don't even want the damn thing. The IRS, who is being investigated for malpractice, they don't even want the damn thing for their employees. I mean, there's got to be a point where you just go, how much information can be out there of the disaster, including the guy who wrote it, who said it was a train wreck, okay? You know, the author of the plan. When you have all that evidence on one side, and in a week and a half, the left-wing media, the rhinos, and the rest of those creeps, you know, can get up and spin their bullcrap and actually put doubt into people's minds. That's the part that amazes me.
Well, what amazes me is
Obamacare. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, the thing that's amazing is that people buy into the crap, you know, and I mean, you know, it's not amazing that they're putting out this spin. I mean, let's face it, 90% of this spin is coming from the Republicans. They can't control their voters. They can't control the people that we managed to elect despite all their shenanigans who are actually conservative, who actually go there to do what they say they're going to do. And so they've got to massage the public with all these quote messaging, and the fact is that what they're pissed at Cruz for, okay, this is what they're pissed at Cruz for. They're pissed at Cruz for going over their heads directly to the people, and that's what Don't Fund It is about. And then everybody who hasn't signed it, and even if you've signed it, go there now and get three other people to sign it. www.don'tfundit.com. We've done, you know, Chris and I have done three extra shows a week. Just on obliterating Obamacare, and that it's key not only to preventing the final straw from destroying this economy, but it is the key to a conservative comeback. We've done three shows on it. If you go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook, you can find a link. I put all three of them there together with a nice big red photo that says defund Obamacare now. All three shows are there. They're all still relevant. We covered in the first one that this is not a, quote, health care bill. Okay, that it is designed to be a control mechanism and a jobs killer. In the second one, we discussed why, if it results in a government shutdown, how that's actually good for the country, it's good for the economy, and it's actually a good political move for conservatives and libertarians in the Republican Party. And then last Thursday, we talked about the continuing resolution that hadn't passed yet, which passed on Friday, the Graves continuing resolution, which is now going over to the Senate. So all three of these are important. We're going to do another one this coming Thursday. Not sure what it'll be about yet. It'll be related to the topic, probably just bringing you up to speed on what the hell happened in the Senate this week. And I don't want to spend all this show talking about it because there's a lot of other stuff going on, but this is a pretty dominant topic, and it is not about the healthcare law. It is not about people dying in the streets because they don't have medical insurance. That's not happening. If you're truly broke, guess what? There's like 12 programs in every state, and there's Medicaid. Okay, in California, Medi-Cal, whatever, it's there. So this is a bunch of horseshit that they're using to scare you to put this thing in place, and it's not even ready. I mean, the mechanisms and the IT systems, which are designed to figure out who qualifies for a subsidy and how much they qualify for, aren't working. So you might actually find yourself saying, wow, I'm getting this huge subsidy. It's cheaper for me to get out of the plan that I'm in at work, and my employer just dropped the plan anyway, and I'm going to go to the exchange, and it's actually a good deal. And then you're going to find out later that, oh, well, actually, no, your subsidy was wrong. It's not that good a deal, and guess what? The thing that you had before, now it's gone, and you're screwed. Or they're going to give out money to people. They're going to give out money to people who shouldn't, you know, quote, qualify under the law even. And then they're going to do random audits. Do you really think they're going to go back out and get that money back? I mean, give me a break. This is a disaster just waiting to happen. It's not even ready to go. Actually, Ted Cruz is doing Obama a favor by defunding the rest of it. You know who's defunded Obamacare? Obama has defunded Obamacare. He's delayed most of it. He's defunded it because it's not ready. Illegally. And now Ted Cruz is saying, well, you know, I'll just defund the rest for you legally. That's like a gift. You should take it. Just shut the fuck up and take it, you know?
Crash again on Obama's watch.
Well, I mean, look, the ones who backed Obama, which is basically Goldman Sachs, the bankers, the Fed, same people that backed Romney, okay? They'll throw him to the wolves. They don't care, you know? And he's just a puppet. He's a temporary puppet. And the thing is that, you know, worrying about Obama.
I think they've already opened the gate.
Yeah, and then, you know, and worrying about the, quote, left-stream media. Don't worry about the left-stream media. I mean, the fact is, what are you bitching about what MSLSD says or Democracy Now? You don't even watch that stuff anyway. I mean, you should. I think you should look at all sources just to, A, find out what they're saying, and, B, sometimes they actually get it right where your side doesn't. You know, just have an open mind. Look at everything. Use it critically. Cross-reference it. But here's the simple thing. The real problem, just like the real problem is not the Democrats, the real problem is the Democrat wing of the Republican Party. The real problem is the so-called right-wing talking heads that are not really right-wing. You know, this little self-professed Pollyanna, who's neither a happy optimist, he's actually a deluded moron, but he definitely is a little girl, David Brooks. You know, he actually has the gall to say that the reason that this is happening is because the media is behind the far right. When the fuck is that ever happened?
Are you kidding me?
The media being behind the far right. I mean, God, come on.
How do they get away with saying this kind of stuff?
Because I don't know. No one calls him on it except us. I'm calling him on it. He's a little liar. I mean, and you know, and he basically called for the, quote, leadership, which means basically rhinos, to have a showdown with Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a mistake because I'm pretty sure that in that fight, Ted Cruz is going to win. One, because he's a fighter and a winner. And number two, you are the grassroots tsunami that's going to be the force behind destroying the rhinos. So get busy. Go to www.don'tfundit.com and make your calls. Call the rhinos and hammer the hell out of them. Let them know that you don't want this thing to be funded because it is going to kill jobs. It is going to limit health care. It is going to limit medical access. It is going to destroy private insurance. But, you know, we're running out of time.
I want to add four numbers to that.
Yeah.
When you leave your message or you get a hold of somebody, just go and let me remind you, 2014 is next year, and I vote and I donate.
Yep. There it is. That's exactly what you got to do. Now, here's the thing. We're running out of time. We've got about 20 minutes of live show left. Got a lot of stuff to cover, so we're definitely going into overtime.
Wow.
But here's 6 minutes. It's flying by. Here, and I wanted to cover a lot more than Obamacare, since we've already done three shows on it. We've got Benghazi to talk about. We've got what Trey Gowdy's doing. Hopefully we'll get to this stuff. But here's the thing. You have to know how to read the information between the lines, okay? Because talking heads, and look, you're grassroots if you're listening to this show. You're active if you're listening to the show. You're from the Liberty Movement if you're listening to the show. You're a Gingrich supporter and a real conservative if you're listening to this show. You're not a Romney supporter, and if you were, then you've repented, because otherwise you wouldn't be listening to the show, because we friggin' hate Romney and Rogue on this show. But the simple fact is that you have to get other conservative/libertarian/conservatarian, whatever, Republican voters who are still falling for this lie. So many people are believing that this effort is doomed to failure because they're being told by our, quote, side that it's doomed to failure, people like Karl Rove and David Brooks. You have to expose these people to the rank-and-file voter, the low-informed voter out there, so they stop listening to them, because these are the same assholes that are going to tell you, Jeb Bush is the only electable one in 2016. Marco Rubio is a severe conservative. And people are going to believe this stuff like they did about Romney. Now, not enough people are going to believe it because so many of us have woken up and people are going to jump ship and go Libertarian Party and maybe, you know, write in Rand Paul or whatever it is you're going to do. And then we're just ceding ground to the socialists and the progressives. So what you have to do is wake these people up so that they can make informed decisions and realize that you can actually elect conservatives, you can elect libertarians, they can get along, and they can actually roll back the expansion of government and put it back in its constitutional box, not in one election cycle, not in two, but you take your battles, you know, and you fight your battles and you win the war long term. But here's David Brooks, and you got to pay attention because he's brought on as the, quote, Republican conservative guy, and listen to what he says.
So just 9 days until the start of the fiscal year, David, the Republicans in the House have thrown down the gauntlet. They're not going to fund the government for the coming year, they say, unless the president's health care plan is zeroed out. Where is it headed?
I'm Mr. Pollyanna on this. I think it will be fine. You know, I think what happened, there was a minority of House Republicans who upset the majority, upset the leadership. They wanted to have this big thing. We're going to defund Obamacare, or else we're going to shut down the government. The leaders didn't really want to do this. They thought it was a dead end, or they're now calling it a box canyon, which is the metaphor of the week. But they've got these people. They're going to give them what they want from pressure from the right. So they give them what they want. They pass this thing, no funding for Obamacare. It's going to die in the Senate. And then I think they're going to come back and either fudge or cave in. And I suspect we will not be shutting down the government.
Is that what you think?
Well, I think the Republicans at this point are going to call in Vladimir Putin to settle their civil war. I mean, this is an astonishing fight within the Republican Party. And the one guy bringing them together is Senator Ted Cruz, who is the guy who pushed the Republicans in this direction and then said, well, really, we're not going to do it in the Senate. It's up to you guys in the House. Later, he made a kind of Churchillian statement saying, I'll fight all the way. But a lot of Republicans are alienated that they got put in this box. The more moderate Republicans say we shouldn't be here at all. And the conservatives say, well, are you going to really back us up? I am more inclined than I was a few days ago to think we'll avoid a shutdown. There's a lot of pressure building within the Republican Party to say this is the dumbest strategy we could pursue. And I think that's starting to sink in. But the right wing of that party feels this very, very strongly. And so I'm not sure they're going to roll over all that easily.
Well, given that, who's calling the shots in the Republican Party? Who's in charge in the House of Representatives?
Apparently Senator Ted Cruz is in charge of the House, and with these 43 or some odd, a couple dozen more Tea Party Republicans. Mostly there's a couple things going on. First, in the people on the far right, we'll call it the far right, have just the media behind them. They've got a lot of momentum behind them, and nobody really wants to anger them. And it's just easier to placate if you're in leadership than it is to really take them on. I think that's probably a wrong strategy long term. At some point, you got to have a showdown probably with the Ted Cruzes of the world if you're in leadership. At some point, if you're in leadership, and believe me, the Republican leaders detest him. He's really unpopular. And at some point, they think he'll burn out. Maybe that's true.
That's Cruz.
Because they want to impose some party structure. They want the leaders of the party to lead a party. They believe politics is a team sport. A lot of these Republicans, like Cruz, like some in the House, and like Jim DeMint, who's a former senator now at the Heritage Foundation, they are doing very well for themselves by running against the Republican Party. They can raise a lot of money, they can build their national stature, potential presidential options, but it's very bad for the leadership. And so eventually I think they're going to have a confrontation, and they're going to have to show who's boss somehow.
You know, I think the answer to your question, when you ask who's the leader of the Republican Party right now, there's really no leadership. And I was talking to a conservative today who made a really interesting point. A lot of Republicans aren't necessarily worried that they will lose a primary to a Tea Party candidate. What they're worried about is having the primary in the first place, having to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars, face a lot of negative ads. And so a lot of Republicans are just reluctant to cross the right, even when they are not inclined to agree with them. And that sort of really makes John Boehner's job very difficult. And Boehner himself is worried about crossing them because he's worried about losing his leadership.
But David is saying that the leadership needs to confront the Tea Party.
Yeah, I mean, I could make the alternative case, just let it sort of play itself out. But, you know, that's a dangerous game. And the problem the leadership has, what exactly is their leverage over these people, whether you're leadership in the House or leadership? They really are fervent believers. They have total conviction in their cause. They're not afraid of being denied committee assignments. And crucially, and this really has affected Capitol Hill in terrible ways, when we got rid of earmarks, we got rid of the power leaders have over their own members. And so getting rid of the earmarks, the little special interest spending legislation, was very bad for Washington.
And this isn't the end of it. I mean, you've got the debt ceiling decision coming up in just a few weeks. How do you see this getting resolved? I mean, are we looking potentially at a government shutdown?
I think, as I say, I think it receded a little bit this week, but the debt ceiling is really frightening. I mean, if we don't know exactly what would happen if Congress doesn't approve the debt ceiling, and you wonder if Speaker Boehner might win this round, meaning they'll get some kind of agreement so we don't shut down the government, but then have to do something for the right wing then on Obamacare. And it's really this fixation on Obamacare, I think, is really important. And I've started to believe that they're not afraid of Obamacare because they think it won't work. They're afraid of it because they think it will work. And Ted Cruz almost said that when he said, look, this is our last chance because people will get hooked on Obamacare. People don't get hooked on bad programs. They get hooked on Social Security. They get hooked on Medicare. And so I think there really is this feeling we can't let this have a chance.
There, I disagree with you. They really think it's not going to work. You know, there's all these anomalies in the law. There are things that are just messing up already. They're reasonably confident it will not work, and they just think it's a job killer. It's also political gold for them. them. It's an extremely unpopular program, so it's a no-brainer politically and substantively as far as
The particulars are popular. If you poll on Obamacare, it's unpopular, but people want to keep protections against being discriminated against on pre-existing conditions. They want to keep their kids on parents' plans. There are a whole bunch of things
blah, blah, blah.
Appeal to Obamacare.
Well, I can't believe these guys.
Come on.
I mean, look, you know, it's just, first of all, look, you got to understand.
At the end, they're telling the facts.
Obamacare sucks,
and nobody wants it.
Right, nobody wants it. Well, but people like pieces of it. Fine, then pass those things that people are behind, people want, and they're actually constitutional as separate bills. Why do you have to stick them in this thing that gives all power? Look, the reason that people on the left who don't like this thing anymore, the unions and everybody else, is because the bill was self-referential and gave unbelievable power to HHS and IRS to write regs on this thing. So it became something that it wasn't, and it became exactly what those who wrote it, the lobbyists and the corporatists and the connected insurance companies and the connected Medicare providers, what they wanted to do. But then everybody else who thought it was going to be, you know, happy, namby-pamby, everybody gets insured and it's free, roses and sunshine and unicorns in every house, is like, oh, wait a minute, this thing's not working. So it's crap. But the thing is that people don't get hooked on bad programs. Look, they get hooked on things like Social Security and Medicare. Those are bad programs. The guy is a liar, and the thing is that's the guy on the left, so he's an idiot, obviously. But David Brooks is the guy on the right. He's the guy representing the Republican Party. He's the guy representing conservatives. And he's saying that Ted Cruz is detested by the leadership, and that because they got rid of earmarks, it reduced the power over the leaders over their caucus, and that's a bad thing because, you know, these people that are elected by their constituents shouldn't do what their constituents want. They shouldn't do what the Constitution wants. They need to do what their bosses in D.C. tell them to do. And that's exactly the...
I know, that was just unreal that they admitted that. I mean, it was just like, are you kidding me?
Well, I think it was on PBS, but nobody heard it.
I mean, but they basically admitted that it's all corrupt. It's all based on control. And the part that, you know, I was going to chime in the middle of it, but every time they talked about leadership, has anybody ever studied leadership or what the true definition of a leader is? We don't have leadership in Congress. I mean, yeah, he is showing you what a leader is. You know, his word is good. He was hired to fight. He was not even supposed to win. You know, I mean, the guy came from nowhere and won. He gets in there and he hits the ground running. He's doing what we hired him to do, and just to throw a little thought out there. For all you people, if any of these people who are listening, these 2010 Tea Party people who won, who we busted our asses, we got on the streets, we did, you know, the rallies and the, you know, everything that happened in 2010 was such a powerful event. They got in there and they got behind their leaders. They let them put a boot on their neck and they didn't do shit. And that was not what we hired them to do. If you want to look at the drop from the Republican Party, 2010 to 2012, was another 12% of people who left the damn party. People busted their ass to put those people, those young, new Tea Party people in there, and then they all lined up in rank and file and got behind their leader, you know what I'm saying? And they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. I cannot believe they rehired Boehner. I cannot believe it. After 2 years of doing nothing but handing Obama everything that he wanted with a little bit of, you know, pissing and moaning on the side in between drinks and golf game. And it's just – and so when you get guys like Rand or Amash or you know, the rest of them or Cruz or whatever – and they get in there it's just so amazing to me that people look at these guys, how much attention they're getting, and the chatter on social media, you know, go Rand, go Cruz, stand with Rand, you know, Cruz missile, all this crap, and you're going, they're just doing what we hired them to do.
Yeah.
It's not really that big of a damn deal.
But we haven't seen it since 1999. We haven't seen it since 1999. We don't know what it looks like. It's freaking us out, you know. But that's what's happening. This is what we wanted. This is what we got. Now you got to support it. You got to send in the grassroots tsunami. And here's the crazy thing. What Brooks said about the leaders leveraging over their caucus, that's exactly what you heard coming out of Boehner's mouth before he caved, right? He told the press, you make him do something. I can't make him do anything. Right. You can't make him do anything, Boehner, because you're not a leader.
You're not a leader.
You're a little orange, useless piece of beef jerky that toes the line for the corporatists and gives Obama everything he wants, and then all of a sudden your caucus is saying, you know what, this is messed up, our constituents don't want this, America doesn't want this, and it's unconstitutional, it's illegal, and it's going to destroy the economy, and all of a sudden you go apoplectic. Well, he caved. He caved because of you. He caved because you called, he caved because you signed, and you can do the same thing to McConnell.
40 stupid votes in the House knowing it would go nowhere. I mean, they were the laughing stock of mainstream media.
Yeah, and they were trying to do it again.
Somebody who actually does something. Go ahead, sorry.
No, and Cantor was trying to make it another faux vote, but it's the real vote now, and they had to do it. Look, we're 250 away from hitting 1.6 million on www.don'tfundit.com. Let's get busy. Let's make it happen. Let's hit 1.6 before the show is out. There's only 6 minutes left, and we're probably going to roll at least 30 minutes, assuming Blog Talk Radio doesn't cut us off, because we got a lot to cover. I'm going to piss you off a little bit more right now. I've got a minute and a half here with Wallace and Rove, and listen to what Wallace says. And I don't know that he meant to actually say it, because he reveals that the true enemy is not Obama and it's not Harry Reid. The true enemy is the Republican, quote, leadership, which, as Pat Caddell called them, is the consultant lobbyist establishment complex. Dislodge these sons of bitches. Here's Wallace and Rove.
Carl, this has been one of the strangest weeks I've ever had in Washington, and I say that because as soon as we listed Ted Cruz as our featured guest this week, I got unsolicited research and questions, not from Democrats, but from top Republicans, mm-hmm. who to hammer Cruz. Why are Republicans so angry at Ted Cruz?
Well, because this was a strategy laid out by Mike Lee and Ted Cruz without any consultation with their colleagues. Mike Lee,
liar,
of Utah, lays it out on July 9th without having ever brought it up at the Thursday meeting of the senators to say, we've got an idea. I would suspect today, with all due respect to my junior senator from Texas, I suspect this is the first time that the end game was described to any Republican senator. They had to tune in to listen to you to find out what Ted's next step was in the strategy. And look, you cannot build a congressional majority in either party for any kind of action unless you are treating your colleagues with some a certain amount of respect and saying, hey, what do you think of my idea? And instead, they have dictated to their colleagues through the media and through public statements and not consulted them about this strategy at all. I do want to correct one small thing that Senator Cruz said. He said Republicans enjoy an advantage on health care in the Wall Street Journal poll this week. I wish it were true. The advantage in the Wall Street Journal poll was Americans favor Democrats, trust Democrats more on health care, 37-29. Now, the bad news for the Democrats is this is a historic low number for them, but Republicans don't have an advantage on it. At the time of the 2010 elections, it was 42-32, so they had a 10-point advantage. Now they've got an 8-point advantage.
Yeah, okay, there it is. I mean, you know, Rove is just full of crap, and he's just trying to disparage Ted. But the admission Wallace made, basically, opposition research to beat up a successful conservative principle taking a stand and getting things done Republican came from Republicans.
Yep. The RNC's been pretty quiet on this.
Yeah, but I think Wallace just exposed them. I think he's going to have a talking to.
Well, Rove. Rove. It was probably Rove that did it, and Wallace said that, you know, without saying, you handed me this paper.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
the admission right there. The enemy is not the enemy that's facing you. The enemy is the guy that's sitting next to you or behind you who says he's your friend and your colleague. You know, Mike Lee and Ted Cruz didn't consult with their colleagues. Well, their colleagues want this thing. Their colleagues are working with the Democrats. Why would they tip their hand? They're behind enemy lines. So
Bingo. This
is a bunch of horseshit that they're trying to play this game that these guys are simply just, you know, being boisterous. What would be the point in that? I mean, look, and they use disparaging comments like Senator Cruz from Texas by way of Canada. Hey, really? I mean, come on. Okay, the guy was born in Canada, so what? You know, he's a senator. He's legitimate as a senator. Is he legitimate as a president? We can have that conversation. He's not running for president. He is currently a sitting senator who's doing his job. So send a grassroots tsunami to support him. We're going to go dead to those of you listening live, and there's a bunch of you listening live, in 1.5 minutes. So you have to call in 646-649-1013 if you want to hear the rest of the show live. But remember, all the shows are available to you on the Tex and Rex show page on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to blogtalkradio.com, look up the Tex and Rex show. You find our page, you click on it, and all the shows are listed right there. You click on them. You can listen in your browser. You listen in your mobile device. Below the scrolling graphics, you click the right-click download episode, and you get an MP3 that you can listen to in your MP3-enabled device. You can burn a CD. You can send it an email. You can take it to your Tea Party meetings, your Republican Party meetings. You can take it to your Campaign for Liberty meetings, whatever. Just get people this information, because this information isn't being put together like this. I mean, obviously, the clips we're pulling are off TV that anybody can see, or YouTube, but it's not being put together and explained to you so that you can actually connect the dots as to who the enemy is, what's actually being done, and what the chances of success are. Now, what are the chances of success? Who knows? But the fact is that there is a strategy, there is a path, there are tools to use, there is a right thing to do, and the right thing to do is to defund this damn thing before it kills all the jobs. And so the idea is that you do what you can. But the most important thing when it comes to politics, if you want things to change, is that you have to be the momentum. These people might be the leaders, they might be the representatives, they might be the ones doing the work and who understand the procedural motions and all that kind of stuff, and that's what they're hired to do, and God bless them for being there. But they can't do anything behind enemy lines in the pressure cooker of Imperial City unless there is more pressure brought by you, the grassroots and the American people, than there is by the lobbyists of special interest in the banks. Now, you don't have as much money, but you have the votes. And they can rig elections, but they can't rig them that much. It has to be a close election to rig it. If you make it overwhelming one way or the other, they can't do it. So get on point, make your calls, and definitely go to www.don'tfundit.com, because I want to see $1.6 million before I get off the air. And right now we are at exactly $1,599,847. We're almost there, so let's make it happen. We're going to spill into overtime a little bit here, we got stuff to cover, and I'll go until Blog Talk Radio cuts us off. But, we just heard from David Brooks, lying asshole, Karl Rove, lying asshole, Chris Wallace, lying asshole. That's three lying assholes in a row, and I don't want you to think that I'm only going to play clips of lying assholes. So let's get a little upbeat. Let's listen to someone who's actually in support of Ted Cruz. Here's the really important thing. You need to get off the cult of personality, okay? Even if it's someone you like. You know, you like Ron Paul, quit following Ron Paul because he's Ron Paul. You follow Ron Paul because he's telling the truth. You hate Newt Gingrich? Fine, hate Newt Gingrich. But listen to him and learn from him, because he's done this before. You like Ted Cruz? Fantastic. He's doing the right thing. You don't like his personality? I don't care. He's doing the right thing. So just quit following the cult of personality. No one's going to be right 100% of the time. No one source of any information or any action is going to be right 100% of the time. Take it for what it is.
So frustrating.
Cross-reference it.
The media doesn't help. And I can just imagine the news if it would have been a Republican president. It would be all we hear, 24/7. So we've come to a point in all of this, in this conversation today, conversations we've had, you know, for the last year, whatever, is that, do you want your country back? I mean, it really is what it boils down to, because the people who are running this country are making a joke out of it. And I do a lot of, you know, I study a lot of international news sources. And the way the rest of the world looks at America today, not that I give a crap about what other countries think, but they are partners, whether it's military or economics or trade or whatever, and the trust is gone. If you think you feel bad in this country, then go study some external news sources and read the articles and the comments underneath them. We are at a point where people like Rand Paul or Cruz or Amash or the rest of them, are making such a statement of such a breath of fresh air about what we stand for and what's important, because that's really what you believe in and what your core values are becomes what your national conversations are going to be. And that really, you know, that's just a cause and effect thing. And what we're dealing with at this point in time is we are winning. It just is really ugly right now because it's going to, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's the thing. You got to just deal with it. You know, I know people are burnt out. I know people are tired of politics. I sure the hell am. You know, every day I get up and I boot my computer and I think, I don't want to do this crap. I don't even give a crap. I've never been a government-driven person. I've never paid attention to, you know, I'm a Northwest Alaskan guy, you know. And live your life, make your money, you know, pay your taxes, pay your bills, and create a fortune and raise your kids and all those basic core things. Well, you can't do that anymore. You know, you are under attack. Every facet of what you believe in is under attack, whether it's religion, if you're a Christian, if you're straight, you know, if you believe in self-preservation and, you know, the right to bear arms and protect your family and or to be prosperous, or, you know, you want government out of your life, you want some common sense in living your life, all of that is under attack. And it's crumbling before our eyes. The ball has been handed back to us, the citizens of the country, because the government is collapsing. Every move they make right now, I mean, how many scandals do we have? A dozen? You know, major scandals going on right now. And that means it's crumbling. They are they're balled up in a fetal position right now, hoping that the media will keep the pressure off of them. So basically, you've already won the battle. The question is, will you finish the play? You've got to finish the last quarter. And that means you as a citizen. That's how this country was set up. You want totalitarianism, you know, you had it with Bush and you have it with Obama. Okay, you want a citizen-run country, then you've got to take it back. You have to be involved. If you're not involved, even in little ways, whether it's passing on information or getting educated or passing on the shows or being on the right groups and getting involved in the conversation until you understand, asking questions until you understand, you know, what's the truth on this issue, because you can bet that if whatever the news puts out is not the truth. So you've got to do some work. You know, shut off the damn TV. You know, watch less sports. Do something. You know, Rex, it's such a small, and we talk about this a lot, it's such a small percentage of people who are really fighting the good fight. You know, really, and we talk about it all the time. You know, what the hell are we doing? Why do I have a group and why are we doing this show? I'm not doing this for my health, and I sure as hell don't get paid for it. I did get some cookies out of it.
Yeah, cookies are nice, but it still costs money to run the show. But no, you're right. It's never going to be most people being involved, but those of you that are involved,
we need more.
Get the others to do something. And in fact, we already got them to do something, because www.don'tfundit.com has 1,600,052 signatures.
Awesome.
Give yourself a round of applause, America. Now, double it.
Work
harder. That tsunami needs to get out there. You need to make the calls. You need to call McConnell. You need to call the Senate rhinos and tell them to defund this thing. Put the pressure on so that Ted Cruz can do his job. That's what this
is
about.
Hey, I got one. Let me add something to what you just said. I would even go so far, and I know that people are so pissed at Boehner over his performance in the last few years that, you know, I know how people feel about him. But, you know, Ted Cruz had the grace to praise him and say he did the right thing, and I thank you.
Right.
I would actually go so far as to say that everybody needs to call Boehner's office and say thank you for standing on this issue. You know, thanks for standing with Ted Cruz on this issue, and give him some praise, because this battle ain't over in the House.
Yeah,
we're going back and forth, and it goes back to the House. We need him to know that he did the right thing on this one. And even though
point.
We all know, You know, it is. It's important. You know, this that, you know, we stand out here, and it's so easy for us to, you know, point fingers at Rand or Cruz when they say something nice about somebody we don't like. Well, you know, they got to live with these people and work with them. So,
yeah,
you know, that's just basic civility.
Yeah, well, no, of course. They have to do that. And look, the 70% of the time when those guys are speaking, they're speaking to other colleagues on the media. You know, they're speaking to the people that they're working with and the people they're fighting with. But they also are speaking to you. And you got to learn to understand what they can and can't say. They have to praise Boehner when he does this thing. I don't have to praise Boehner. I can still call Boehner a useless piece of kind beef jerky. I'm just a bronco with a microphone. But they have to. But it is good to reinforce this because it is possible this thing goes through the Senate. It is not impossible. It is possible. Highly unlikely. It is likely to go back to the House, and that's where you have to hold the line, and that's what's important. But right now, the focus is on the Senate. So call your senators, tweet them, Facebook them, get others to do it. Keep going to don'tfundit.com because that number does matter. The bigger it is, the more pressure it puts on them. Defunding Obamacare has little to do with defunding Obamacare. It has nothing to do with medical care. It has nothing to do with insurance reform. It has everything to do with the fact of, does this government that's run by corporatists and central bankers dictate your life to you, or do you dictate its power and authority to it through the Constitution? That's what this is about. That's what the battle is. This is the turning point of either you fall all the way down the welfare warfare state, which means imperial wars abroad perpetually in a police state at home with little economic freedom, which means you have no liberty, or is this the tipping point where you start heading back towards the constitutional republic, where you diffuse the power, which limits corruption, you stop spending money, you stabilize the currency, and everybody takes care of themselves and helps out their neighbor. Okay? And it's about you've been given an inheritance that has taken more than 1,000 years to get to. All right? This country is a little over 200 years old. We're kind of young, but we have the oldest constitution in the world. And the reason it's still here is because it developed over 1,000 years of tradition of liberty and freedom. It didn't happen all at once. The jury system, the militia, delegation of powers, all these kinds of things. Yeah, it took a long time for us to get here, and you have inherited it. And that is a precious gift. And you got to remember, there are currently 7 billion people alive on this planet. You are one of 300 million privileged to be an American. And that's an awesome responsibility and a wonderful gift. Now, I say it's an awesome responsibility because you have to be a good steward of the gifts that you're given. And, you know, I don't always like to, you know, inject, you know, religion into the conversation. This is a political show. But today at Mass, the gospel reading was from Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. Now, if you're a Christian believer, I suggest you pick up your Bible and you read that. If you're not, you know, then the Bible is just one of many documents that are poetic, philosophical, and you can still glean something from it. So it's pretty important. But read Luke 16, verse 1 through 13, and just understand this. It's about the distrustful or the, you know, the bad steward. But you have to be a good steward, okay? And I'm going to start just with verse 9. It says, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon," which is money, "so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal habitations. He who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and he who is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We have unrighteous money from the Federal Reserve as the currency of our lifeblood in this country for our economy. This bill is just the end cap of destroying economic freedom. Are you going to be a good steward of the liberty that has been delivered to you through the shedding of much blood and treasure? Or are you going to squander it away for some rotten pottage? Are you going to squander it away so that you can get free health care? Are you going to rot it away so that, hey, you know what, go blow up Syria and we'll be prosperous. I don't care how many people die. Are you going to squander it away because Karl Rove and David Brooks told you that Ted Cruz is dangerous and he needs to be put back in his place by the Republican leadership? Are you going to squander away your liberty because you won't sign a petition or get 10 other people to do it? Are you going to be polite and not discuss these things with people? Are you going to be a good steward? Are you going to stand up and you're going to mount a grassroots tsunami and you're going to fight and fight and fight and support those who are fighting for liberty, fighting for you, fighting for the Constitution, not only against the opposition, which are socialist progressive Marxists, but fighting against their own corporatists in their own party. They are behind enemy lines, the McConnells, the Jihad Jane McComeds, the Lindsey Grahamnesties, the Johnny Boehners and the little Eric Cantnots. Are you going to fight? Are you going to be a good steward and fight? Now is the time. The wind is at our back. We've won battles. They're telling you that going further is pointless because it can't be done. Well, if you're truly an American, independent, rugged individualist, fighting for the underdog, taking up the lost causes, then when they tell you you can't do something, do it.
Bingo.
Get it done. Now's the time. And we're here to bring you the information and connect the dots so that you can do it. Please make your calls. Please go to our page. Please go to the group. Please send out the show. Replay the phone numbers. Call these people. Call them. Call them. Call them. Sign the petition. Get it out there. Let's make it happen. Because now we can turn this around. So stand with Ted, not traitors. Stand for truth, not tailspin. We'll bring you another special show this Thursday following up on this, the developments in the Senate. But this is Rex and Trog signing off.
The flames of liberty never die. Night.
So run, you turd.
Run! Tell all the other curs the lie's coming. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Our message to the United States Senate is real simple. The American people don't want the government shut down, and they don't want Obamacare.
All right, now it's in the Senate's hands. So the guy leading the fight there against the president's health care law, Texas Republican Ted Cruz. Senator, very good to have you back. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's always great to join you, Neil.
Boy, you know how to generate heat. You're a newly minted senator, and almost from the day of your arrival, you've been like the bull in the china shop. Now even some fellow Republicans, particularly those in the House, are saying, wait a minute, is he really for this defunding effort or not? What say you?
Well, look, what I say is today was a terrific day. House conservatives stood up. They stuck their neck out. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, the vote we had today to defund Obamacare was considered impossible by Washington pundits. And today was a victory for House conservatives. It was a victory for House leadership, for Speaker Boehner. But most importantly, it was a victory for the American people, because the reason the House voted decisively today in a bipartisan vote to defund Obamacare is because the American people have risen up in incredible numbers saying Obamacare isn't working. It's the biggest job killer in the country. It is hurting millions of Americans, and we need to stop it. And I salute the House for passing this continuing resolution defunding Obamacare, and the Speaker's exactly right. Now it's up to Harry Reid. Now it is up to the Senate to step forward and do the same thing the House has done, listen to the American people.
Harry Reid says it's going nowhere in the Senate. What do you think?
Well, that is certainly what he has said, and I'm sure that's his intention. And so, you know, Neil, this process was always going to involve a series of steps. The first step was to unify and mobilize the American people. And we've seen over 1.5 million Americans sign the national petition at don'tfundit.com, reach out and call their representatives. The next step is what happened today, to unify House Republicans for them to stand strong for conservative principles to defund Obamacare. And they did that today, which was a real show of courage. The next step that's going to play out next week is for Senate Republicans to unify, for Senate Republicans to come together and to support House Republicans. I am hopeful that we'll see every Senate Republican come together. Now, Harry Reid's going to try to play procedural games, and in particular, what he really, really wants, according to the reports that his team is leaking out, is that he really, really wants a vote to fund Obamacare using just a 51-vote threshold, which lets him do it on a straight party line vote with only Democrats. Now, I don't think Republicans should let him do that. And if he tries to play those games, if he tries to use a 51-vote threshold to let Democrats fund Obamacare, I'm hopeful all 46 Republicans will stand unified side by side with Republicans in the House and fight to defund Obamacare.
Do you know of many Republicans who won't?
Well, it's not clear at this point. There's been a lot of discussion. And what's interesting is that people's positions have been moving. And the reason they've been moving is, frankly, Neil, the process is working. That we've seen, you know, over 1.5 million people go to don'tfundit.com. When you get 1.5 million people signing a national petition, calling their senators, calling their elected representatives, it gets people's attention. And, you know, a lot of people say, all right, well, what happens even if Republicans stand together? If Republicans stand together, Harry Reid might choose to kill the continuing resolution and to threaten a government shutdown. I don't think Harry Reid should do that, but he might be extreme enough to do that. If that happens, then the ball will shift back to the House, and I think the House can systematically respond. I hope they would respond to the Senate if Harry Reid does try to force a government shutdown by passing one continuing resolution after another, funding each specific piece of government, starting off with funding the military. Send it over and say, all right, Harry Reid, are the Senate Democrats, is President Obama going to shut down the military? Is that what you want to do? And see if Harry Reid's willing
to do
that.
Would every one of those measures, Senator, have attached to it out of the House, I'm saying here, this defunding health care initiative?
No, I would include, for things like funding the military, I would send it just as a clean,
as
focused,
a standalone,
continuing
okay.
resolution, as a standalone, just on the military. And I'd do it one at a time. I hope the House does that.
Right.
If the Senate tries to kill this.
All right. Now, you've heard from the likes of Karl Rove and the mainstream Republicans who say they feel for your passion, they feel for this Republican zeal and antipathy toward the health care law, but the numbers don't favor this happening, that in the Senate, and you almost acknowledge this yourself when you recognize just the math in the Senate, Democrats in control, and then going on to the president, if it even got that far, he'd veto it and he'd be protected. He'd have enough to avoid an override. But it got some House Republicans angry at you, including Arkansas Republican Griffin. I want you to listen to this.
The folks in the Senate that have been talking about defunding and delaying and repealing and all these different options, they've been asking for the ball. Well, we're going to give them the ball.
Congressman, were you specifically citing Senators Lee and Cruz as those Republicans who talked a good game but didn't really follow through?
What I was doing is challenging the ones that talk a lot over there.
No, I want to be specific. You were talking about those two gentlemen.
Yeah.
You know, Senator, I read all your comments, and you were very, very clear about your passion for doing this, but you also recognized the math in doing this, so you were obviously walking a tough line there. But do you think that you're kind of damned if you do or damned if you don't now?
Look, from day one, I have said that this is going to be a long process. I believe we can win this fight, and I don't think anyone can look at what I've said and done, what Mike Lee has said and done, and have any doubt that we are going to fight with every ounce of breath in our bodies to defund Obamacare. But it's going to be an iterative fight. And the point that I made is I said, listen, Harry Reid has 54 Democrats. If he wants, he can kill the continuing resolution. He can shut it down at this stage. And if that happens, that shouldn't set the stage then for the it goes back to the House. And the only way we win, the only way we ultimately move the votes in the Senate is for the House to continue to stand strong, to stand firm, to start sending over limited CRs, funding the military, funding different pieces of the government one at a time. And if we stand firm, I mean, people ask, how do you win? Well, the way you win is we keep making the case to the American people, and once we unify, first we've got to unify Republicans in the Senate. I hope we're going to do that this week. Once that happens, then you start moving red state Democrats over one at a time. And people say, well, none of them have gone over yet. Well, of course not. Republicans aren't unified yet. No Democrat's going to join us until Republicans are unified. And I'll tell you, look, if you are a red state Democrat from Arkansas, from Louisiana, and you start getting 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 calls from your constituents saying Obamacare is killing our jobs, it is hurting Americans, suddenly your calculus changes.
The establishment will grow more and more hysterical the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become, and they will gain strength as it's obvious that they're among the few people willing to raise the right question. And I consistently have been on the side of having the courage that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have, and I think it's sad to watch the establishment grow hysterical. Christie is a very good governor.
Taking a look back at seeing what happened back in 1995, would you say it was worth it? It was worth the risk, not only
absolutely
to the country. Absolutely. And why is that?
Absolutely. For two reasons. First of all, as Republicans, no Republican majority in the House had been reelected since 1928. When we stood firm against liberals and we said we were prepared to really fight, all of our base said, you know, these folks are different. They're not normal politicians. They don't just go to Washington to sell out. And we became the first reelected Republican majority since 1928. I've always been puzzled why the Washington establishment, which is liberal, has always said it was a mistake. But there's a second reason. The shutdown convinced President Clinton that we were serious about balancing the budget. As a result, we controlled spending at 2.9% a year, the lowest rate since Calvin Coolidge in the 1920s. We got to a balanced budget by cutting taxes to increase economic growth. And the result was we balanced the budget for four straight years and paid $5 billion of debt. Now, they had to believe that the Republicans were genuinely serious in order for them to have that kind of negotiation when you had a liberal Democrat in the White House. The result was a bipartisan effort that reformed welfare, cut taxes, and balanced the budget with a full employment economy. That ought to be the goals we set for the next Congress, and have the courage to stand toe-to-toe and say to the president, you're not going to be able to intimidate us and blackmail us on basic principle. We're going to do what's right and rely on the American people to see what's happening.